Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Thank you for being here today. Boy, I tell you, I am excited. I know that God has given me a word for today as we wrap up 2021. You know, it's hard for me to say that. 2021, I remember in the 1970s, I know some of y'all like, but I remember thinking like 2020, what will it be like? Because I'll be in my 50s, I'll be like my grandparents' age. And I remember thinking that in the 1970s and just thinking, what is it going to be like? I mean, really, what are we going to fly to each other's houses? I thought that would be cool, flying cars. I mean, the Jetsons were a bit. Come on, anybody there? You remember that? I mean, what'd you think of in the 70s? Some of you are like, I didn't think anything. I wasn't born. Well, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all those that were. In the 1970s, what was it like? Well, let's go to 80s. Do you remember thinking like big hair could be forever? I've kind of got excited a few times because we've got some styles from the 80s that have came back in, but I've yet to see Aquanet. I'm just waiting. That and a pick. That's all we need. Penny loafers. I don't know why I got on a kick on this. I just kept thinking about that this morning. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but it's just amazing that we're in the 20s, but not even the 2020s. For those of you that are in your teenage years today, have you thought about what it's going to be like when you're my age? When you're in your 50s, what are you going to do? I mean, what about when you're some of these people's age in here and when you're in your 70s? How long will that be? I mean, if you're a teenager right now, in 50 years from now, I'm talking about the 2070s, a lot of us, I'm telling you, won't be here. And if the Lord tarries, you will. Maybe you'll get to fly over to your neighbor's house in your flying car. I don't know. I just think about the future. But here's what I can tell you. When I came to know the Lord, and I really got an understanding of His presence in my life, it didn't matter if it was 1970, 1980, 1990, or 2020, His plan for our lives has not changed. And I want to continue to think about what it's like being a part of God's plan. What is it like? I mean, yesterday, Christmas is really no different. The excitement for Christmas is no different in my 1970s, 1980 time frame than it is in the 2020s, because I remember the same excitement as we read the Christmas story, as we heard about Jesus. The story, praise God, hasn't changed. It just hasn't changed. I mean, a lot of things have changed, but it hasn't changed. And as I thought about 2020, I oftentimes thought, if I'm still alive in the 20s or Jesus hasn't come back, and I think, what is it going to be about? What's it going to be like? I pray, God, would you let me have grandkids? And He took me serious. I got 6 of them. Some of y'all got a lot more than that, but I just was amazed at 6 grandkids. I mean, the front of our house yesterday would be competitive with any fun place you could go. We had a bounce house. We had everything out in front of our house. I'm telling you, it was a ball now yesterday. We had fun. And what I think about is I'm like, it's 2021. I can tell you one thing I didn't think about, that 2019 and 2020, there would be a virus that would change a lot of the ways we think and operate here in this world. But what I have seen is the church was still the same. Mostly. I'm not here to throw any other church under the bus, because the last 2 years has been difficult for every church in the United States of America, trying to figure out how much do we listen to what's going on and try to be wise from a culture standpoint, or how much do we listen to God and try to be wise from a biblical standpoint, and where do we, how do you, what, I don't know if anybody here's thought about this, but it's been on my mind a lot. This last year, our vision over the past year was essential. That's what we called our vision for 2021. And I want you to know, I'm grateful today that you see the church as essential in your life. I'm just grateful for that. I mean, we went through 2020 with the virus and now 21. And what I want to do is I want to talk today just a little bit. You know, this is not the first virus that has hit our nation. Many plagues and diseases that our whole world has had to navigate through. And I pray that you can hear me all the way through, because I totally intend on the word and even my thinking and understanding of the word to step on some toes. But if you'll hear me out through the end, prayerfully, you'll hear my heart. But this virus was the first virus to hit our world that happened to find a group of power-hungry tyrants that we had as governors in several states. They hijacked this virus to put themselves in a position of king. They wanted to be a king. And I've seen it. I couldn't imagine Americans sitting here and being told when they could and couldn't go in and out of their house, but I saw it. I being told if you could even have family over for the holidays by the government. And that if your neighbors were to see you doing that they ought to call this number. Did any of you see this on the news? Hopefully you weren't the neighbor calling some. But here's a, being mandated by authority or government to quarantine. Now, I understand all the reasons behind everything that they were given, but governors telling people who can and can't go to church, and for those that can and cannot sing out loud, I started getting really concerned. I mean, looking back at some of this over the past 2 years, I'm just amazed that America took it. I really am. I mean, how people bought into that control. And all I can figure out is if you put enough fear in people's hearts and if you can get them consumed with fear, you can control them. Now, we saw that in looking back, it's a dangerous place to be. 2020, very early on in the coronavirus last year, I saw governors telling people a word that I hadn't never really seen applied to people. But here's what they said. There are certain people that are non-essential. I don't know if you heard that, but there was essential workers and non-essential workers. And then they gave you, I've still got it. I've got a list of who made the essential list and who made the non-essential list. And most people that go to church at Christian Ministries were on the non-essential list. Sorry to say, I was one as far as being around people goes. And the call of God on my life is to be around people. Government telling what work was essential and what work was not essential. I just got to tell you, as pastor of Christian Ministries Church, and you can ask my staff, that's when I said, whoa, this is too much. Now, when I saw all of this and this being said, I said, we got a real problem here, and you can count CMC out. You're not going to tell God's people that they cannot assemble, that they can't worship, and you're not going to tell God's people they're non-essential. We're not going to take this for a minute longer. Yeah. I just remember. Now, I saw this horrible story grow more and more through 2020. That's why last year in 2021, we had the vision of telling God's people that you are essential. You're very essential. And we can't let that thinking, we can't let it take hold in culture that we are to be affecting. See, we can't let our culture tell some people they're essential and some people they're non-essential, because Romans and Corinthians is very clear. Each person is created by God, they're gifted by God, they're woven by God with his character and nature, and then tell that person that they're non-essential and just stay at home? Yeah. That just went against my understanding of Scripture. And so as 2021 approached, our vision was essential, and we didn't have a choice in my mind. We had to make a statement, an equipping, making it very clear to God's people that God sees us as essential. And when the government wants to see us different than what God sees us, that's when Christians have to take a different approach. See, the points we spent this year instilling in each of us is, number one, you're essential. And number two, there are essentials in life. There are things in life that are essential. So for just a few minutes, I want to ask, the day, the Sunday, the last Sunday of 2021, did we get this? Because we may need to spend another year on this. Or did the culture get you? See, I want to ask, in 2021, do you see yourself as essential before we go into 2022? Because every time I turn the corner, there's another something that the government's trying to say, if you don't do this, you're no longer essential. Now, my first point today is you got to know you're essential. You got to know you're essential. You got to know it. There is, it's not determined by the government. It's not determined by a governor. It's not determined by your boss or the president. It's determined by our creator of whether or not you're essential or not. And he created you essential. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 139. I want to make sure every member of CMC has it ingrained in their heart that they are essential in God's kingdom to do his work. Psalm 139, verse 13 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born." How could anyone say life begins at before birth? Life was there. See, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Before I was born, every day of my life was recorded. Has he recorded that you are non-essential? See, I don't read that as I'm reading. I just can't get that thinking in my head. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Okay, well, Pastor, that means God knew it. All right, let's keep reading. "How precious are your thoughts about me, oh God? They can't be numbered." I can't count them. "They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you're still with me." Okay, here's what most people have taken that verse to say. I'm important wherever I am. And the answer to that is yes. But why? Why are you important? If you're just important to God, then the day you get saved, you ought to be taken out of here. Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking that through. But the day I was saved, I've been left from 7 or 8 years old. I come to know Jesus, and then I'm still here the rest of my life. Why? It's not just to take up a place and breathe some of the oxygen here on earth and get some extra if it's not enough. See, that's not... It's damaging when we allow someone over us to tell us that we're not important. God says you're important. But to mandate that you're not to fulfill what God has asked you to do, that gets me into battleground. We got to know whose side we're on. A distinction was made over the past year to year and a half. It's not so much about what you do, it's about who you are. Now, that's tough for me because giftings point you in a direction to say, this is what I do. Where do the giftings come from? They come from God. So if the giftings come from God, then what I do has got to be important. But over the last year, I think there has been a refocus for Christian people because I've watched Christian people be affected by a government mandate. And I've watched them try to be obedient to what the authorities say. But at what point do you be so obedient that you disobey the word? So we've got to get to a place where we're being taught from the word the truth. And it really isn't about what we do, because wherever I'm at, It's about who I am in Christ. Now, what you do can be taken away from you. We've watched it. I've seen it. I know some that it has. But that you're foundational in Christ, you'll know that your value comes first from your foundation. Now, I have to see myself the way God created me. You have to see yourself the way God created you. He created me to be what He asked me to be. He created you to be what He asked you to be. And please know, and I'll go on record saying this, the government cannot change that. But Pastor, I lost my job, or I'm being forced out of it, or here's what's being said. And well, if you get an understanding that you are valuable and that your foundation is in God, hold on. This is a temporary situation that God will see you through. You are loved beyond measure. Here's my second point. Identity became very important in our topic about who we are, because we do find our identity at times in what we do. And it blows my mind still to this day how doctors and healthcare workers, all we heard was how essential they are until some decided that they weren't taking a vaccine. You're so essential, except for if you don't do what we tell you, you're not anymore. It's just hard for me. And now all of a sudden, we have a lot of people who were essential that are not essential, not based on a 6-foot distance or a mask, but on a vaccine. As Christian people, I understand our job doesn't define us. But at the same time, it's important that we know that our life is important wherever we are. And because you're a child of the King, I'm hoping that God reveals to you a truth that Him being the foundation of your life, even though there are some things that have been destroyed, some thinking of how we operate in our culture that have been attacked, and they may have knocked down some different things, the foundation of Christ is unmovable and unshakable. And so what I'm saying today is, hold on, tomorrow's here. Well, you say, no, I'm still in this. Okay, tomorrow's coming. Hold on. 2021, we got in our hearts that we're essential. Therefore, we're not shakable. If anything, that strengthened the child of God, or did it tear you down? Do you need to spend another year? Are you getting my point today? Do you need to spend another year convincing yourself that you're essential? What I'm trying to do isn't put anyone down. I'm trying to tell you, you're essential for the kingdom of God. It is taking time to get our mind wrapped around what's going on in our world, and we've got to try and process it. It's tough. I understand that the professional football game may not be essential. Remember the toe thing I said at the beginning? Yeah. But even though that game may not be essential, the person who works in the concession stand and sells hot dogs, that's the way they provided for their family. And so now they don't have a job, and what's going on here? And the work that now he was allowing God to funnel money through, he's trying to find another way, and the government says, no worries, I'll take care of you, until they don't. See, you take the person's giftings and you try to destroy them, and they go back to their foundation, and if you don't have a foundation in Christ and see yourself as essential, too many of God's people are just given up. My question is, are you God's people? Because I don't care what you take away, if your foundation is right, you can rebuild. I think of all the entertainer friends I have in Branson. I was in the entertainment industry for a long time. And it's tough. As I've seen over the last couple of years, many of them struggle trying to take on other jobs. Well, there's a plethora of jobs. Yeah, I know, but when your gifting is entertainment, it's like, God, my gifting is this, and I need to be back over here. And I don't see 2020 and 2021 were difficult time in a lot of different industries, but I saw it personally in the entertainment industry. A lot of the people that I was really good friends with in the gospel music industry, they traveled from church to church. Well, all of a sudden, there's no traveling going on because most of the churches they went to shut down. And it's a little difficult for the ones that were holding service but all had masks on to sing with a mask on. Now, I know I've seen some commercials that people are doing it, but it sounds like me, it seems to me it would be a little muffled. Just my thought. See, God uses your giftings to funnel his blessing into not only your life, but to those lives that you come into contact with. Whether that's driving a truck, changing a tire, working in the medical industry, whether it has to do with you're a stay-at-home mom, whatever blessing God has given you to operate in and the giftings that he's walked, those are blessings to bless those that are around you. Are you hearing me? So church, you got to see yourself as essential. You're a vital link in that chain. You're a spoke on a wheel. It's just really important. I understand the game may not be essential, but all those workers that make that whole complex come to life, the people who broadcast it, the people who are delivering all the groceries to feed all the people that are at the game, the people who make the uniforms for the game, the t-shirt designers, the ones who sell the t-shirts, do you understand that when you take a spoke out of that wheel, before long, you don't have a wheel? You just take one spoke out. There's not anybody who's not essential in the kingdom of God. Now, God put man in the garden to tend it and to keep it in a relationship with him. And you're created to be in a relationship. And you're created to tend and keep. It's difficult to tend and keep when you only stay at home. As a man, I have dreamed about being on a deserted island all by myself. Most men have. That's why they call it a dream, and it's not going to happen. I had to tell myself that, and now I can say it. When you're convinced that you're not needed to keep the creation, then why are you here? God designed you to keep his creation and to be in relationship. Here's what happens. If you lose the tending part, the relationship all of a sudden is not quite as, if I lose that I'm taking care of my family, and then all of a sudden my relationships get hurt. When you quit doing what God's asked you to do, do you not feel like I don't really want to go talk to him? Sure you do. Because you're not tending and keeping what he entrusted you with. There's a tending and keeping that he designed us to walk in, and he designed us to be in relationship, and those things go hand in hand. What I want you to know, it's important to you, for you, from the youngest in here to the oldest, that you're here to build his kingdom. Just going to work is really not enough to give life meaning. It's knowing that you're gifted and called by God, and what he's called you to do, your mission or vision then starts exploding in everyday life. It gives you purpose for getting up. I love what Chapman said this morning. What about Mary and Joseph the day after? Today is December 26th. It's the day after. Have you thought about what Mary and Joseph the day after? Do you think they went, that was horrible? No, I think they looked back and said, man, this is all. This confirmed. This is all of God. I have a purpose. I'm raising his son. I got some responsibility in this. I am going to build the kingdom of God. You are generationally of Jesus. What are you doing the day after Christmas? You're going to build the kingdom of God. You're going to raise the kingdom. You're going to do everything you can, and you have to be foundational. He has to be birthed in your life for that to ever happen. So for 2021 to be understood, I want you to know there was a virus. There still is a virus or a form of it way down the line. I don't know which one now. But the people in high risk could be very hurt. I get that, even die from it. I did not have my head in the sand and have people that I know that were highly affected by this virus. And it was horrible. So I don't want you to know, sit here and think that I'm putting down a reaction to something, but we need God's people to have a correct biblical view in the midst of this virus. Without the church, we'd be in a terrible position. See, the church provides culture with ethics and morality. Ethics and morality only come from the word, otherwise they're all messed up. And it comes from a biblical foundation. How do we get a biblical foundation if God's people aren't foundationally true? If God's people aren't seeing themselves as essential, we have a real problem with furthering God's plan in and through our lives. Now, prayer is a key part in our lives. And as a believer, it should be one of your top, if not the number one priority, because being in relationship with God means being in prayer. Being in relationship means being in communication. So we've got to, there are two things you were created for, tend and keep and relationship. Prayer is important. Prayer is an important part of your, we can't be in relationship practicing the presence of God, continuing in the presence of God. You live daily in a connection with God all day long. And all of us have in our ability a preconceived idea of prayer. My question for you is, what is that? Is it biblical? A lot of people's preconceived idea of prayer is, on Sunday, we can go up to the front and we can have a prayer team pray for us. I want you to know that's not the only time you can pray. Some of you are like, duh. All right, well, good. I'm glad you got that. I just wanted to throw it out in case anybody didn't. But prayer is communication with God, and it's not just for Sunday mornings. It's not just for Wednesday nights. And really, it's not just for when you're getting ready to eat and hoping somebody can pray over the food. The question is, what is your preconceived idea of prayer? Well, the Bible says to pray continually. Pray without ceasing. I like to, and I'm just hitting this because we already talked about this year, but I wanted to throw it out because we'll make sure we got it. Three areas that you can pray. You can pray privately, you can pray corporately, and you can pray in a lifestyle. See, there are times that God just immediately lifts into my spirit. I mean, just his spirit just says, pray for this person. Anybody here ever experienced that? Come on, just pray for this person. And so that's what do you do? I just, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm lifting up this person to you. I don't know what's going on in their life, or maybe I do. And whatever it is that I do know, I'm going to lift up to you and I'm going to ask. See, that's a personal prayer that I come up. There are other times that the Bible talks about a corporate prayer. And I just, hey, let's all get together and pray, right? Right now, we have done that over the last week a lot because many of you may not know this, but a week ago from today, my father, stepdad, my Andy, had a heart attack right here on this property. He lives right across the road here, and he ended up having a heart attack and had to go to the hospital. Well, let me just tell you, I had a lot of personal prayer time this week, but we had a lot more corporate prayer time. But let me just tell you what else we had. We had a lifestyle of prayer. Because there hasn't been hardly a day this week that I'm not just walking around, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm believing for Andy. Father, today I'm thanking you. See, it's someone close to me, and it actually strengthened my time with the Father this week. Now, you say, how is he? Because I know that's the next question. Well, he's right now, it's kind of been touch and go this week. He's had good days and bad days, and I'm praying right now he's had some, and you can just believe with me. Can you get in agreement? That's corporate prayer. That we get in an agreement and we be praying collectively about the same thing, that there's some internal bleeding going on. He had open heart surgery on Thursday and they can't find where the bleeding is going and it needs to quit in Jesus' name. See, that's what we're just going to keep. Do you understand that there is a significance to seeing that we're essential in God's eyes in our prayer time? Psalm 119. 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. My third point, being wise as we are essential is imperative. You have to be wise as you see yourself essential. I'm just telling you, it's been a tough road to navigate. I have made some people really mad with what I have said about this virus. And I will tell you that it was never my heart to frustrate anyone. It really wasn't. I didn't say it because I wanted to make everybody mad. But as pastor, it's hard to keep your mouth shut sometimes. What I want to do is make sure I haven't said anything against the Word of God. And so if I've made someone mad, what I want you to know is my heart wasn't to make, well, that wasn't wise. And the Bible says that we are to live as wise. I agree with that. But wisdom comes from where? In fact, if you look at the root word wisdom, it also includes Jesus in that because they come in a couple different places in Scripture as the same verse. Jesus and wisdom are interchangeable. So let's make sure as we're looking at our wisdom that it doesn't come from a worldly standpoint, it comes from God. So is that wise? In God's eyes, I believe it was. You know, as we get smarter and smarter, the older we get, I'm finding I get dumber and dumber. Anybody here kind of attest to that? You start realizing the more you try to know about something, the less you know about everything. You know, you say, I'm just trying to get this, and oh, man, now I'm looking into it, and I realize I didn't know anything, and now I'm trying to know more, and, ooh, it's really tough. And you know, you can go to the library, and you get a book for about any topic you need. There's just, you can go to the library, or you can go to the library of the Word, and you get a book for about any answer that you're in need of. The Word of God is a plethora of books and a lot of different libraries that can help you out. And it always goes back to the truth, because the truth and the Word are in, you can't change them. I always got to go to the truth. James said, be hearers, but be doers. Don't just be hearers only, but be doers. I get that, but we've got to at least be hearers. And when we're trying to operate separate from what we have heard the Word say, we're in trouble. So my question is, how much have you been in the Word? If you're going to see your life as essential, the Word gives you the wisdom to be essential. So that's the point of being wise, is make sure your wisdom comes based on the Word of God. There are thoughts in your life that you got to take captive. Anybody have to take thoughts captive over the last year? I'm just telling you, it happens a lot. Without knowing God's Word, it's hard to know if your thoughts need held, whatever. My mind's going way faster than my mouth can keep up. I've got to watch what I'm listening to. Yeah. I'm going to say that again, and I want you to apply it to your life, not just say, you do, Pastor. I got to watch what I'm listening to. When you're listening to everybody else's response on what's going on in our world over what God's response is, He's the only one that wasn't taken by surprise here.
That's right.
Therefore, He's had a lot of time to think about what the right response is, just to give you something to think about. So therefore, you might have to take your thoughts captive. How? To the obedience of Christ. Now, my thoughts take off based on what I'm listening to. Let me hang out there for a second. Yeah, they do, Pastor. You're right. I'm hearing you talk. No. Mine and yours, our thoughts will take off based on what we're listening to. They just take off on us based on what you're listening to. So I ask you, are you listening to something that's taking you off to build the kingdom?
Yeah.
And I'll just leave that there. You can deal with that on your own, because if you're seeing yourself as essential in God's eyes, then everything you're listening to needs to take you off to the kingdom of God and take everybody off with you. When you have conservative liars and liberal liars, I know of no one on the conservative side or the liberal side that I can trust. When you have both, and we've seen them now, conservative liars and then, oh wait, I thought that was a good guy. No, he's a bad guy. I don't. My problem is, if the conservative liars are actually not lying, then why aren't they doing something about what they're talking about? And the Bible says I can live in peace and joy. But what I'm listening to is taking my mind to a place that isn't producing peace and joy. I just want to go on record again in 2021, December 26th, I am going to live in peace, and I'm going to live in joy, and I'm going to live happy. Well, you don't need to be worried. I need to be concerned about being happy, because happy are those people whose God is the Lord, according to Psalms. And I'm going to have that in my life. I'm going to live the call of God on my life, and I'm going to live to serve God. I'm going to bring thoughts captive, and I'm going to do all of that by being in association with the Creator of this world, who is my Savior. And to quote Tim Brooks, I'm not going to live jerked up or twisted off. I'm just not doing it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Catch them thoughts before they get in your heart. Where are your thoughts coming from? Where are your thoughts of peace coming from? Come on, I'm just trying to help somebody this morning. Did we get foundational this year? I'm sure as I'm getting older, I have to come to understand that I can either live frustrated, mad, and hurt, or I can live joyous, prosperous, and happy. I've got a choice here in the matter, and I'm going to enjoy my life. Bitterness is not going to take hold in my life. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Why don't you get through him? It'll make a difference. Well, you just don't know what I've been through. I'm telling you, you've not been through anything that Jesus didn't already take care of for you. People in your life who are in the Word, I have watched, and I've watched them live according to the Word. And I don't really know what's been going on with me from a very young age. I just wired a little different. I really was. I mean, I have watched people try to give me advice in areas that they have failed in miserably. And I've just never let them have my attention. If their life is miserable, they usually don't have my attention. Unless I'm trying to help them. But they don't have my attention with being able to speak into my life. Your life's miserable. Yeah. I don't care that your whole life reel on Facebook says that it's wonderful. I know. Your countenance tells me. Yeah. It's miserable. You're probably not getting the opportunity to. Why are you allowing them to speak in your life?
Yeah, come on.
Don't let someone who don't have the fruit of the Spirit of God speak into your life. Yeah. You can speak into theirs, and if they say, no, you can't, then get somebody else, because there's a lot of people looking for the fruit of the Spirit. You may not realize that. I have found that I listen to those that the Bible has worked for them and produced life for them. When I'm in the Word and people ask me a question, when I'm in the Word and people ask me a question, do you know what? My answers will produce food for them in their spirit. Can I hang out here for just a second? When I'm in the Word and someone asks me a question and they really care for my answer, I'll know it. And I feed into them from the Word, and it's food for their spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when I haven't been in the Word, but I've been in the news, and I've been into what's going on in the world, my answers tend to feed their flesh. See, the responsibility for us as seeing ourselves as essential is we've got to be in the Word, because we are essential. And we got to start feeding the right person. The Spirit of God in a person is what we've got to be building up. But if we're not careful, we feed ourselves from this world. And what ends up happening is we feed other people's flesh. And it's not a good thing. My fourth and last point today is the church is essential. Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. How important is it that we assemble together? You know, this verse was written in a time where the church wasn't being allowed to meet together. And what he said is, I understand you're not being allowed, but you need to anyway. That's why Hebrews 10:25 came so big into this church, when the government was saying, here's what you need to do. And this church was getting calls from our local health department. Are you meeting? I don't know. Show up Sunday and see. How important is it that we are assembling together? Well, it's not very important right now, but this was written in the same time frame that you were being told not to. Now, I've said all year, you got to be careful that you never say that you've went to church when you didn't even get out of bed. All you did is turn on your smartphone. And we had to watch that over the last couple years, because no one can go to church without getting up and going to church. You didn't go to church. You may have watched a church service. And we got to be real careful that we don't lose that the church is essential.
Yeah.
See, I understand we are essential, but there are things in life that are essential, and the church is one of them. So many started viewing a sermon or just listening to one. And I can tell you, you can be taught, you can be fed by listening and watching. I'm not here to put those things down at all. But not being together with Christians who are functioning together as one body means you're not in church and you're not a part of the church. You can be taught and you can be fed, but you can't be a part of the body of Christ. And I want you to know, going to church is more than just sitting there listening to a sermon and amen in it. I'm just begging for amen in half the time because I'm just looking for somebody to be in agreement with the word. Now, but that's just a part of it. See, there's work going on right now in the nursery. There's driving the vans for youth. They're serving at the school. They're serving in the coffee shop. They're serving in the parking area or the serving teams. There's praying with someone. There's, boy, you look nice today. Oh, it's good to see you. Come on, we're the church and we're essential. And I have never had my knee say, because the elbow's going somewhere, I'm not. I'm staying home. Nope, the knee and the elbow, everywhere this body goes, that's where the knee. And so when the body is getting together, you're an essential part. I need my knee to get my elbow where it's going. And if you're the knee, come on, it's needed. You're neat. That's cool. I loved this last Wednesday night.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Not just because of the church service, and that was awesome, but here's what I want you to know took place. After church for an hour and a half, I finally looked at my watch and I said, ain't nobody going home. I do that at my own home when my kids come over sometimes. Ain't nobody going home. No, that wasn't my attitude. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is awesome. I just watched the church sitting around visiting, being the church.
Yeah.
I looked over at one point and Michelle Burns, bless her heart. She's not that far off the ground anyway, but I think she may have needed to sit down. Sitting there talking with Jason and Tina. I'm like, let them people go. And then I looked over and it was Jason doing all the talking. And I'm just sitting here going, what in the world? But what I was watching is I was watching two family units enjoy their family unit based on their foundation. Isn't it awesome being a part of the church? My motivation for coming is to be the church. Be what God called us to be. Young people, grade school, high school age. Well, I'm not even needed here. Here's something you can know. Someone is looking up to you right now. And I'll be talking more and more about this as my grandkids start looking up to you. They want to be like you. I come in this morning and I'm looking over and Brooklyn is just trying to catch Joan's eye. And she's like, she don't care. Pawpaw's right here. She's like this, right around me. She just wants, somebody's looking for you.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, Ashley. That's really good.
And you're having a powerful effect on someone's life. Well, I don't really know that's true. Every one of us here can look back on our life when we were young. And we can remember someone that we looked up to. Man, if I could just look like them, if I could just be as good as they are at what they're doing. And I see that happening in this body of believers with our young people looking up to some of the older, just a couple, 3 years older. It was a real problem when my girls were real young because they didn't have anybody. So I brought people in from other states. Here, come stay with us. Marie Olson, I'll never remember. Just, she'd come in here. Man, she'd just feed into my daughters. Rachel's going, yep, because you got the benefit of looking up to someone. Man, if I could just be like Marie. What I'm telling you is we got one of her students that's a pastor here because she was looking up to, whew.
It's good, Ashley. It's really good.
I get overwhelmed at how people can see themselves as insignificant. It's so important that you're a part of the church. You got to have somebody. I want my grandkids looking up to some of your kids.
Really good.
You know what? It doesn't change. You get to be your 50s and you look up and I need to watch my mom and Andy walking in those doors. I know they're getting old. If you don't die, it happens. Mary Jo, I can't tell you how I've been impressed by watching your life. You walk in here every week. You're consistent. Millie and Marvin are just looking around. If you don't know Marvin, you need to. If you have a kid, you know Millie now. As an adult, it doesn't change. There are people you look up to. And as you look up to them, you need to know there's someone looking up to you. The church is not something that you do. It's something that you are. It's who we are. It's who we are. Church makes a difference in seeing yourself correctly. And you know, it's just hard to get off track when you come in here and find yourself affirming the word, when you find yourself amongst God's people, when you watch that what's coming out of your mouth would be honorable to God and to others. I have observed this in church life, and I'll close with this today. People who are in church, I watch their lives. I really do. And here's what I can tell you. Their families just tend to do better. Their lives look way better. I see peace. I see joy. I see physical well-being. I see mental well-being. Marriages, kids, finances, life in general. See, the church is essential to the lives of people. And the gates of hell, the Bible says, don't prevail against the church. The church is alive. The church is aware of the enemy's schemes. God created each of us for a special purpose, making us an essential part of his plan. And the church is where you will find freedom to worship, freedom to sing praises, freedom to attend and to move and to operate, freedom to work, to produce, to bear fruit, to live, and to love. And Jesus came so that we can have life and life abundant. The dictionary definition of essential as we leave 2021 is essential is absolutely necessary. Being essential is indispensable. It's fundamental to life. And it's just as simple as it's a basic need. It's a basic need. 2021 was a year of fulfilling our purpose as we come to understand all that's essential to life. And it doesn't end here. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Come on, don't forget 2021. Y'all stand with me this morning. I pray that as we pray out 2021 and we look forward to what God is going to do in his church in 2022, we don't leave the lessons of 21 in Christianity and we stay foundational. Can we do that? Pray that you came to church this morning and that it made a difference in your life. Not just because you heard the word, I pray that was a part of it, but because someone said hello, because someone was the elbow, someone was the knee, someone was the smile, someone was the high five, someone was to go get them. Someone was asking how you are. Someone was praying for you. This morning, can our prayer team come forward? And I'm going to pray a prayer of dismissal. But if you need prayer, don't leave 2021. Don't leave December 26, 2021 without getting somebody in agreement in your prayer life. I know you can pray on your own, and prayerfully you do. But you can pray corporately, and you can get in agreement. You can also pray as a lifestyle. Did you get anything out of the word this morning? Let it impact your life.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.